President Obama is expected to make an announcement on taxes from the Rose Garden today. He's going to call for a one-year extension of the Bush-era tax cuts, but only for people who make less than $250,000 a year. Joining us now, Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for The Atlantic. And Molly, it seems to me that the president is trying to paint the Republicans into a corner. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely the case. He needs to seize control of the narrative, particularly on the economy, where we saw on Friday when those bad jobs numbers came out, how he really seemed to sort of be flailing and talking around the issue. And there's a sense, I think, that of stasis that the president has been sort of sitting there watching as things continue to either get worse or just fail to get better and doesn't have anything new up his sleeve. So I think this is an attempt on Obama's part to make it appear and in fact to actually do something to make things get better in the short term.
And as I mentioned earlier, he seems to have public opinion on his side. Most people don't want the tax cuts to be renewed as they stand. There's somewhere shy of 20% who want them simply to expire, and there's something like 45% in the latest poll that I saw that approve exactly what he proposes, that they are only renewed for people who make less than $250,000 a year.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the kind of thing that always polls well. And so, as you mentioned, this is another way in which he hopes that he can put the Republicans in a box by seizing ownership of something that is popular with the public, popular with the majority of voters pretty much across the spectrum, and trying to say, okay, this is what I want to do. Are you on board, or are you, for some reason, against motherhood and apple pie and the American people?
So do we have any idea how many people this would apply to, the people who benefit from the Bush-era tax cuts but make less than $250,000 a year?
That is a good question. I do not have that number offhand.
I couldn't find it
either. It is a lot of people. it is a lot of money for the average family. And the number of people who would be affected by the expiration on that top bracket, over $250,000, is relatively small.
So we're speaking with Molly Ball, who covers politics for The Atlantic. So exactly how does this work here? Is he forcing Republicans to approve something which is not popular? Is that what he's trying to do?
Well, I will be interested to see how the Republicans react to this, because the last time we had a debate on tax cuts, on the payroll tax cut several months ago, you'll recall, the Republicans ended up essentially folding. At first, they took an aggressive stance. At first, they said, no, we want to do it this other way, or here's why we don't think this is a good idea. But they found themselves just crosswise with popular opinion. People wanted these tax cuts extended, and the Republicans ended up going along with it. So this will be another case where I think we're going to see over the course of the next few days how it plays out in terms of Republicans figuring out whether they have a successful message to say, here's our alternative and here's why we don't want to do it the way the president does, or whether they're just going to take a look at the sort of election year realities of this and say, all right, we'll do this, and then hope to take the issue out of his hands by just folding quickly.
I'm going to quote the statistics that were listed in the New York Times, at least. Doing as the president suggests and extending these tax cuts for people making less than $250,000 would cost the government about $150 billion in revenue. That's as opposed to if they just let them expire, whereas the estimate on letting the cuts expire for everybody above that threshold, that would generate $850 billion over the next 10 years. I wonder, Molly, if what you're kind of talking about here is a difference in atmosphere from the last time we had this conversation about these tax cuts. We're about to talk to Scott Ridgel, who's one of the kind of rookie Republicans who's now refusing to sign Grover Norquist's tax pledge. Is the GOP hard stance on tax cuts and tax increases changing?
Well, this is not going to be the fight that calls them on that, because it is not a fight over increasing revenue for the government, although I guess you could argue that in the expiration piece of it is. But, yeah, I think we've seen several Republicans, especially as they hear, we see Congress's low approval rating. Members go home to their districts, including Republicans, and they talk to constituents who are tired of the gridlock and want them to compromise. And so even though they may have signed these pledges, or they may feel very strongly that they have to stand on principle, I do think that, you look at the polling and people overwhelmingly want Congress to work together. They don't like this constant gridlock that's been going on in Washington. And so I do think that, especially in an election year, you are going to see some people going wobbly and saying, all right, let's actually try and get something done so that we don't have to go back and tell all the people that they should vote for us, even though they, you know, hate how stubborn we are.
So here's the president coming from kind of a wobbly position on the economy, making this announcement on the Bush-era tax cuts. Where does it leave Mitt Romney? Does he have to, is he being forced to come out in support of the Bush-era tax cuts above $250K, which includes himself?
That will be another interesting thing to see how Romney positions himself on this. I think that's another thing we'll see evolve over the course of the next few days. He has, of course, been very cautious when it comes to everything in this campaign, and particularly with the economy. But he can afford to take a stance on this, to take a popular stance on this, even if he's at odds with other Republicans. And I think there would be some understanding in that in terms of the election realities. I'm not entirely sure.
You're saying there's a chance he could actually come out and say he agrees with the president?
I think there's a chance of that. I don't know if it's a good chance. But Romney has, if you think back to the jobs numbers coming out on Friday,
right.
Romney came out and pounded the president, and that is what he's been doing over and over again, is saying, look how bad the economy is. It's his fault. And so we're going to hear him stick to that line no matter what and try to get this issue out of the way, probably painted as some kind of too little, too late, some kind of distraction or attempt to change the subject, so that he can get back to that message of this is not some kind of bold new plan to take the economy in a whole new direction. If anything, it's sort of an incremental step. And so Romney's going to continue to argue that this is not going to solve our economic problems. What we need is a new person in the White House.
Well, if you ever, leave the Atlantic, Molly, you could probably get a job as his speechwriter there, because that sounded pretty accurate.
I've heard a lot of his speeches, and they tend to be all the same.
Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for the Atlantic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Quarter past the hour. Now let's take a look at some of our other top stories. President Obama will be in the Rose Garden this morning, as we just discussed. He'll propose a partial extension of the Bush-era tax cuts. The president plans to call on Congress to renew the cuts for those Americans making less than $250,000 a year. The president's plan would eliminate cuts for the wealthiest Americans. All tax cuts will expire on January 1st unless Congress takes some kind of action. Republicans argue that an extension across all income levels will help the economy. The seemingly relentless heat is expected to subside today for many residents across the country. Forecasters say temperatures will be in the 80s in the South, Mid-Atlantic, and Midwest. The heat over the past several days has been to blame for at least 46 deaths. Firefighters are hoping to get a wildfire in southern Idaho under control, but strong winds are making that challenging. The blaze grew to some 80,000 acres overnight. After weeks of decline, gas prices are on the rise. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular now stands at $3.38. That's up 4 cents from a week ago. And the military will bury 6 Air Force servicemen today, nearly 50 years after their plane went down during the Vietnam War. The AC-47 took off from Vietnam for a combat mission on Christmas Eve, 1965. A Mayday signal was sent out while they were flying over Laos, but 2 days of searching turned up nothing. Their remains were recovered in 2010 and 2011 by joint search teams. You're listening to The Takeaway. Today we begin our virtual road trip around the country, visiting the greatest music cities. What are they? Larry in Brooklyn said this.
Two cities that should be the music capital of America is New York and New Orleans. New York with Tin Pan Alley, and New Orleans just for being there.
Give us your thoughts on what is the greatest music city in America and why. Don't forget the why. 877-8-MY-TAKE.